All right. But the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand and grasp it by its tail. So he stretched out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. Okay, continue on. That they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. The Lord furthermore said to him, now put your hand in your bosom. So he put his hand in his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then he said, put your hand into your bosom again. So he put his hand into his bosom again, and when he took it out of his bosom, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. All right, thanks, Michaela. So here, Moses is having a conversation with God. It's pretty cool. I mean, there's literally a burning bush in front of him that Moses is talking to. And here he is, like, it's not every day you walk around and see a burning bush, number one, that is not even being consumed. But number two, this burning bush is having voices coming out of it and talking to you. So put yourself in Moses' shoes here. You're walking through, shepherding your flock, and all of a sudden this bush starts talking to you. And immediately you know, well, this is God. This is God speaking to me. And what's God calling him to do? The first question God asks is, what is in your hand? And what was in Moses' hand? A staff. Probably not exactly like this, but something like this. He had a staff. And what did God tell him to do? He said, throw it on the ground. And it's some of the translation says Moses threw it on the ground and he ran. You know why he ran? Because what happened as soon as he hit the ground? Would any of you be jumping right now if that turned into a serpent? Would any of you be running? Joe would probably pull out a .45 and blow it away or something like that, okay? But you would be scared, correct? If this staff turned into a serpent, you would be a little like, oh my goodness, because God didn't say, hey, throw this staff on the ground and I'm going to turn it into a snake. No, he threw it on the ground and it became a serpent. Like it probably freaked him out quite a bit, right? So he threw it down, it became a snake. That's what was in his hand. God said, release that, drop it, throw it down. He threw it down, and it became a serpent. And then God said, hey, okay, go ahead and pick up the snake. So he picked up the snake again, and now he has it. It became a staff again. He said, okay, but if that's not enough, go ahead and take your hand. So he took his hand. Now his hand's empty. Nothing's in it, just his hand. And he said, go ahead, put it in your bosom. So he put it in, some say, into his jacket or his bosom, whatever. He put it in, and he pulled it out, and it became leprous. Can you imagine just like one moment your hand's fine, you pull it out, and you're like, thanks a lot, God. Now my hand is completely covered in leprosy. But God says, go ahead and put it back in, and he does, and it comes back out fresh and renewed. And that's what my message is on today, is that what is in your hand? Think about that right now. What is in your hand? What do you have in your hand? For Moses, this was his staff. It was his shepherd's staff that helped him walk through the wilderness. He's probably climbing up some hills, some mountains, helped him climb up a little bit, helped him direct the cattle, the sheep, or whatever he was taking care of, his herd, helped keep him protected a little bit. If something would come, he could smack or whatever. This is what he had. It was kind of symbolizing his livelihood, right? And God said, throw that on the ground, and it became a serpent. God said, pick that back up, and it became a staff again. My question for you is the same thing that God asked Moses is, what is in your hand? What are you holding on to right now? What do you have? You're holding a cane, right, Joe? Okay. So are you, right? Some of us have canes, some of us have staffs, but some of us have other things. Some of us are holding on to, I don't know, maybe some concerns or worries. Some of us are holding on to, I don't know, maybe your job. Maybe your family. God has different things for different people, but every one of us has something in our hands. And if you think, hey, maybe I don't have anything, guess what? God saw that too, because Moses had nothing, became leprosy, pulled it back out. God makes something out of what we think is nothing. He turned this stick, this staff, that was just a regular piece of wood, run-of-the-mill wood, a branch, and he was able to save an entire nation. Because you remember what happened after that, is he went there and he was able to, he did things, great things with his staff. He touched the Nile River, it became blood. He held the staff up, what happened? They crossed over the sea. He hit a rock, water came out of it. Again and again, all these different things from this staff. But was it because it was a magical staff? No, it was because God had taken what he had given, what Moses had given to him, and began using it to bring glory to God and to show his goodness and how much he cares about us. And whatever we have, whether it's we think it's the greatest thing or it's nothing at all, God wants to ask you, what is in your hand? And are you willing to throw it down? Are you willing to give it to me and allow me to start using it to bring others to know of me? Are you willing to give it, to turn it over to God and say, God, I give this to you. Start using it. There's a couple other examples I want to bring up. We're not going to turn there for time's sake, but for example, there's an example of this lady. This lady, her husband died, and there was this guy, Elijah, that she came to. And she said, hey, basically, Elijah, my kids are going to be taken away from me. My husband died. He was a great God. A good guy. He followed God. He loved God. But he had some financial problems, and we owe this person a lot of money. And if we don't pay them, they're going to take away my two sons, and they're going to go into slavery. So this woman came to Elijah and said, what should I do? What should I do? And he said, what do you have? What do you have in your hand? What do you have in your house? And she said, well, I have a little oil. He said, okay, go collect all the jars and start pouring that oil into those jars and fill them up. And she was like, probably thinking, well, I don't think you're getting the drift. I have a little oil, a little flask of oil. He said, I know, but take that and pour that into the jars. And so what did she do? She took, had her sons gather all the jars, and she started filling up the jar after jar after jar after jar. And finally she said, okay, sons, we need some more jars. Go ahead, grab some more jars because there's still more oil here for me to use up. And they said, we have looked everywhere. There are no more jars to fill. Because God took what she had, which was a little oil, and basically, miraculously made it jars upon jars upon jars of oil. And she said, Elijah, what do I do with this? And he said, well, you sell it. You sell the oil, you pay off your debt, and the rest of it, you and your family can live on. And that's what she did. God takes what's in our hands and he multiplies it. He takes something that seems so small and so insignificant, and he begins multiplying it and doing miraculous things with it. When we're willing to turn it over to God, when you're willing to say, hey, this is what's in my hand, but God, I give it to you. What's in your hand, guys? There's another story, Samson. Anybody ever hear Samson? Samson and Delilah, the whole story there? There was this time when they locked up all his hair, and it was just ropes and stuff, and he broke the ropes loose, and he got loose, and there was all these people, and it says he reached down in the ground and picked up a fresh, when I think fresh, that means it's got some meat on it, so a little bit, fresh donkey jawbone. He picked it up, and he went about slaughtering 1,000 people that were against him. Imagine Joe, Leo, we'll skip Joe this time. Leo, stand up for a minute. Imagine you're standing here with a jawbone of a donkey. It's covered in a little flesh, a little blood, a little gooey. It's probably a little slippery. And 1,000 people, just look around here. This is not quite 1,000, not close, but all of us were coming against you right now, Leo. How do you think you would fare? You're confident? Now multiply this by like 10 or 15 or 20. Not so confident probably, right? But this guy picked up this jawbone and began protecting himself because that's what he had in his hand. That's what was there. He picked it up and God used that jawbone. It wasn't because Samson was so incredibly mighty. It's because God was working through Samson. And he was able to defend himself against 1,000 men. And said that he basically slaughtered them. He killed them. When we allow God to be in control of what's in our hand, we can do great and mighty things. There's another story in the Bible where Jesus was talking to some people, kind of like he did a lot. He talked to a bunch of people, and he was talking to these people. You know what happened? It became food time. And people started getting hungry, and people started wanting some food and refreshments. And Jesus was there, and he said, okay, he talked to his disciples, what do we have? Well, do we have some money? We can go some, buy some stuff, whatever. And they're like, all we have is these few fish and these few loaves of bread. He said, okay, that'll work. And they're like, no, I don't think you see around. There's like 5,000 people here, Jesus. What do you want me to do? Give me a little crumb? He said, no, that'll work. And he took what they had in their hands, and he multiplied it. And so they went back around afterwards and gathered up baskets and baskets of bread and leftover fish. From just those few fish and those few loaves of bread, God did the miraculous. Because that's what kind of God we serve. That's what kind of God we have. He takes what seems like the impossible and makes it possible. He takes these staffs, these wooden sticks, and when we're willing to throw them down on the ground, when we're going to say, here, God, I'm going to lay it at your feet, he turns it into a serpent and says, yeah, I know. This is what I'm going to do next. Are you willing to throw these things down at Jesus' feet and say, God, you are in control. Whatever I have, it doesn't seem like much, God, but I'm going to give it to you. Whatever I'm holding on to, God, right now, I know there's only so much I can do with it. I want to turn it over to you. And that is what God is calling us to do, to turn these things over to him. Kind of like the same thing as this morning here, is I don't have all my papers in front of me right now. But I felt like what God was saying is, hey, you know what? It's going to be okay, Micah. Turn that over to me. Turn that whole structure, that whole thing over to me, and allow me to speak this morning. Allow me to speak through you and use you. And it's scary. And I told Esther beforehand, I said, Esther, this is what I'm feeling like I'm supposed to do. And I said, guess what? It seems like every time I speak, there's always a few new people here. And guess what? There's a few new people here. And I texted her and said, guess what? Guess who showed up here this morning? Sorry, Kate, but I texted her and said, hey, guess who showed up this morning? And I was like, it must be a God thing, because God wants to do something through all of us. When we're willing to give something over to God and lay it down at Jesus' feet, he is going to use it for his glory. Because it's not about us, it's about him. It's not about what we can do, it's about what Jesus can do through us, through those things we turn over to him, through those staffs that we throw onto the ground. Are we willing to take that step and say, God, this is what's in my hand. I give it to you. I turn it over to you. God, this is my job. And I don't have a super good job. It's not a real, super well-paying job. I'm not making a lot of money. But God, I'm going to turn it over to you and see what you're going to do with this job. I hand it over to you. If you have me move on to something else, so be it. If you have me stay here for the next 20 years, so be it. I turn it over to you. God, this is my family. My family is hurting right now. I don't know how to keep them all together. But I give them over to you, God. I place them in your hands. I give them to you. Turn your families over to him. God, I have these finances. God, you bless me again and again. What do I do with this? What do I do with this? Give it over to God and see what God does with those finances. Whatever you have, if it's a talent, if you guys have talents, if you have abilities, it might not seem that big to a bunch of you, but God wants to use whatever you have for his glory. Leo showed up as a counselor this year. He'd never been to kids camp before in his life. He showed up. He said, this is what I have. Not much, just a few good accents, really, right? He's a really good Russian and Scottish accent. If you want to hear him speak later, he will, I'm sure, demonstrate to you. But he said, I'm going to give this to you, God, and see what happens. What happened is God changed his life, and he changed so many lives that were placed in his group as a counselor. We give ourselves what we have, whatever we have over. I remember talking to you for the entrance interview. You said, I'm not sure how I'm going to do with kids or whatever. I said, you just be you, and it's going to be good. And he was him, and he changed lives. When we hand over whatever we are or whatever we have to God, we can be confident in the fact that God will use it for his glory, because he turns all things for his good. So back to the staff again. Back in Exodus, it said, he threw down his staff and it became a serpent. So he throws it down. It becomes a serpent. Back then, they didn't have 45s, Joe, so they couldn't blast it away. And it was there. And it was slithering. And maybe it was coiled up. I don't know what it was. But it was probably, it said he ran, so apparently Moses did not like snakes. How many of you here like snakes? Raise your hand. I like snakes, so me, Leo, Anna. Okay, three. You like shooting snakes. Yeah. Okay, there's a good three. How many people do not like snakes here? Raise your hands. All right, there's a whole lot more that do not like snakes. My wife is probably staying in Pittsburgh today just so she doesn't have to hear me mention the word snake. She hates it that much. She does not like snakes. If a snake comes on a commercial, she'll turn away. She says, tell me when it's over. She cannot stand snakes. But apparently Moses and my wife would have got along really well because they both ran from the snake, okay? They were scared from him. But then God said, okay, now I want you to go pick up that snake. But he didn't just say, I don't know if you can bring that back up, Michaela, where he's picking up the snake. There's something pretty cool about this where he says to pick up the snake by its tail. Who here has ever picked up a snake before in your life? Anybody? Few of you. Who here has ever picked up a snake by its tail? Okay? Very few less of you. Is it smart to grab a snake by its tail? Yes or no? Why not? Because snakes have this ability that if you pick it up and you think, oh, it's just going to hang there, guess what? They have so many bones and muscles in their body, they could just curl around your arm and get you. They could bite you. So you grab it by that tail, it's almost guaranteed it's going to grab a hold of you and bite you. And those serpents, I'm guessing it was a poisonous serpent that you would not want to be bitten by. And this serpent bit him. He said, throw it on the ground, became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Next verse, Michaela. But Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand and grasp it by its tail. So he stretched out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff back in his hand. God said, grab it by the tail. I think what God was, good idea why God was telling him to grab at the tail is he was saying, hey, you just trusted me with this. That's great. But how about we take it a step up? Now, rather than just grabbing that snake that you just ran away from, because you're really supposed to grab it behind their head, because you grab it right behind their head, they can't bite you. He said, grab it by the tail. So Moses had to be like, I'm sure he saw snakes. That's why he was running away from them. That, hey, back then they probably knew not to pick up a snake by the tail too. But God was saying, hey, I want you to do something crazy. I want you to grab that snake by the tail and pick it up. And the moment Moses is reaching over and grabbing that tail, I'm sure in his mind, he's like, oh my goodness, I'm going to get bit. And he grabs it and it becomes a staff again. How many times are we afraid to take that next step with God? Because we're afraid we're going to get bit by that snake. We're afraid that something's going to happen. We get scared. We get worried. We're like, God, okay, I gave you the staff. I turned my job over to you. I turned my family over to you. I've given you what I can, but don't ask me to go any farther. Don't ask me to pick up that snake by its tail. Because that's just too much, God. But God says, no, grab that snake by its tail and see what happens. I guarantee you from experience, when you grab that snake by that tail, God is going to do good things. If God told you to pick up that snake. I'm not telling you all to go out and look for some copperheads and rattlesnakes and grab by the tails. Don't do that. But if God tells you to take that next step in faith, if God says, hey, okay, you've turned your job over to me, great. Now I want you to go and tell your boss about me. God, how about I tell my friend, my coworker over here about you instead? That'll be a little easier. No. Mike, I want you to tell your boss about me. I want you to tell your boss what he's doing in your life. That takes it a little bit farther, huh? Are we willing to grab that snake by its tail, even if it might cost us something? God says, hey, you know that neighbor two doors down? That one with like all the trash all around their house and all that stuff going on there, just like he doesn't take care of anything? why don't you go and invite him over for dinner? No, God, I would like to leave him alone and not talk to him. No, why don't you go do that? That's grabbing the snake by its tail and saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to take that next step. You see, every one of us here have things in our lives that we need to hand over to God, that we need to throw at his feet and say, God, this is what's in my hand and I give it to you. But I'm going to warn you right now that when you do that, God wants more. But I'm going to challenge you at the same time that when you go after that more that God wants, God is going to reward you. God is going to be faithful to meet you. And God is going to turn that snake back into a staff. Because God will never leave you nor forsake you. And God loves you. Tyler, God loves you. And when you take that next step, Tyler, God is going to say, hey, here's the next step. Because he has so much for you. He has so much for every one of us here if we would just be willing to take that next step. If we say, this is my hand, God, I give it to you. What's next? What do you have for me? We got to remember that in all of this, this is not about us. It's about God working through us. Moses, the person we've been talking about today, Moses was just a regular guy. He was a shepherd. He could have just as easily been out there shepherding his flocks until the day he died. He was raised in Egypt. He saw what was going on in Egypt, and he fled after he murdered somebody. So here's just this murderer, this guy who murdered somebody, this guy who was just a shepherd. This guy, it says he could not talk very well. He could not speak very well. He was nervous. But God used him. Can you go to, I think it's verse 10, Michaela? Okay, yeah. Verse 10, it says, then Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Next verse. The Lord said, this is the Lord replying to him. He said, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf? Or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Here Moses is questioning God. After seeing that burning bush, after seeing what's going on, he threw the staff down. It became a snake again. He put his hand and it was covered in leprosy. He pulled it back out and it was healed again. And he's saying, but God, I can't speak. I can't do this. I can't do that. But God says, who has made man's mouth or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind, is it not I, the Lord? It's not about us. It's about him working in us, working through us, taking that staff and making it a serpent, taking that oil and multiplying it, taking that jawbone and taking out the enemies. You see, when we allow God to be control of what's in our hand and what we're doing with our lives, God does the miraculous. He took that staff and used it to save a nation. He took that oil and used it to bring a family back together that was going to be ripped apart. He took that jawbone of that donkey and enabled Samson to live for what he had planned years in advance, years down the line, when he tore down that temple and crashed it on the enemy. But God also took that bread and those fish and multiplied it. So people who were hungry could be fed. Would those people have lived to see another day if Jesus didn't provide them with some fish and bread? Yeah. But see, that's what's so awesome and amazing about our God is that he protects our lives, but he also wants to bless you and I on a daily basis. He looks out for our needs. You're a little hungry? All right, here's some bread and fish. You're a little thirsty? All right, here's some water from a rock. God looks out for us. When we turn these things over to God and put our trust and our belief in God, he is going to hear our prayer, and he's going to heal our land, and he's going to restore our families, and he's going to begin using us for things greater than we could ever imagine. Back in chapter 3 of Exodus, we won't go there, but basically, just the chapter before, is where the burning bush appears to Moses. And Moses is there looking at this burning bush and appears to him. And Moses says, what am I supposed to do? And he says, okay, I want you to save Israel. I want you to bring my people out of that persecution in Egypt. And he says, okay, God, who am I supposed to say sent me? A burning bush? And God says, tell them that I am sent you. Tell them that I am who I am. This is God talking to Moses and says, tell him I am sent you. And this is my last point for today, is that no matter how hard it is for us to let go of these staffs, these things in our hands, or how hard or difficult or scary it might be to pick up that snake by its tail, we need to remember that I am sent us. That I am is in control. I'm not strong enough. I know you're not strong enough. I am. I'm not smart enough. God says, I know. I am. I don't know which way to go, and I'm just going to get lost, and I just don't know what to do, God. He says, I am is here. I will take care of you. I am will give you that courage. I am will give you that strength. You see, we make our problems and our things and our worries, whether we're like we don't want to hand them over to God, so big when we forget the fact that, you know what, this burning bush appeared to Moses. That same God that appeared to Moses loves you. That same God who brought them across the Red Sea by simply parting it, by holding up a staff, he cares for you and I. He loves you and I. We're not strong enough. I know. I am. See this golf ball right here? Not very big, not very significant. This is going to symbolize something here. Maybe some of you have seen this before. But imagine that this here is Earth. Michaela, can you show the picture of Earth? See that Earth up on the screen? That's our planet. That's where God has you right now. And you can kind of see between the clouds over to the right-hand upper portion of the thing. If you look really, really closely, you can kind of see Pennsylvania. And if you zoom in a little bit, you can see Jonestown. And if you zoom in a little bit more, you might be able to see this church and me here standing here talking to you. Not really. But somewhere in there, we're there. We're on that earth. This is us with our big problems, our big issues, our big worries, our big concerns, everything. And I am says, hey, okay. I got you. I made this. I am in control. And now imagine that Earth right there on the screen is now this. All right? Next slide, Michaela. Over to your left is the sun. All right? I'm not super good with planets, but I can tell you it's kind of hard to see. But right here, a little blue dot, the baptism size, as this golf ball. That's Earth. So there's Earth, that little tiny, can some of you guys see that? The little tiny blue dot. That's Earth, and there's the sun. Now this Earth that seemed pretty big, because we're so small down there, is now looking pretty small to that sun, isn't it? I think it's like 1.3 million golf balls, maybe more than that, can fit inside the sun. I forget. I don't know if I had that note down here. Somewhere I wrote it. It's a bunch. It's millions of golf balls fit in the sun. They fit in there. It says this compared to a 15-foot sun. Those doors are about 13 feet. So from about here to the ceiling, there's the sun, there's the Earth. All right? Next slide. Who knows what that is? That's the Milky Way galaxy. Guess where we live? What galaxy we live in? Anybody? Milky Way. Okay, cool. This is our galaxy. I just want to make sure. Okay, this is the Milky Way. Now, do you see where it says sun up there? All the way over in there? That little spot where the little point is touching, that's the sun. That was that big thing that was as big as basically this room right here from the stage up. There's the sun, is now down there. And remember how big the Earth was compared to the sun. Again, God says, I made this. I got this. Next slide. You know what this is? Anybody seen this picture recently? They just came out with this new telescope, basically. And this is picture here. I think it's the Webb. It's something like Webb telescope. All right. Here, those aren't stars, really. Those are galaxies. So, like, imagine one of those white, like, oval things is the Milky Way galaxy, okay? So, remember, we have the Earth, which we saw, is so much smaller than the sun, which is so much smaller than the Milky Way, and yet here, God created all this as well. Keep that picture up there for a little bit. So somewhere in this shot, not exactly, but just imagine, we're going to call this the Milky Way, which is not, but just let's pretend with me. Inside there, somewhere deep, is a sun. And if you zoom in even further, you're going to see the Earth. And if you zoom in even further, you're going to see the United States. And you zoom in further, and you're going to see Pennsylvania. And zoom in further, you're going to see Jonestown. And then you're going to see you. God, the I Am, the great I Am, created all of that. God, the great I Am, Yahweh, He created all of you. God, the great I Am, is going to be there for you when you throw down your staff, when you lay it at His feet. God, the great I Am, is going to be there for you when you pick that serpent back up by its tail. God, the great I Am, is going to be there for you when He says, Micah, I think you're supposed to go out to Pittsburgh and be with your family this weekend. But God, I have to get up. That means I'm going to have to get up really early Sunday morning just to be on church on time. But God, that means I'm going to have to drive 8 hours just for like a 2 or 3 hour time with my family. Do it, Micah. But God, it's going to cost me my time. It's going to cost me gas. It's going to cost me being comfortable with having everything prepared and put just in the right way. Hand it over to me, Micah. And I did. And it was an amazing time with my family. Yes, the Steelers won. That's amazing too. But just being there with my kids as they got to experience that for the first time and their faces were like, just wow, this is crazy. And we were doing the wave. Stella was really good at that. And Silas was loving going up. He hates heights. Up and up and up all the stairs. But all those times with these photos and stuff we got because I was saying, you know what, God, okay. I'm going to trust that you're going to be with me because you are the great I am. And I'm going to trust, God, that you're going to keep me awake when I leave at 4 a.m. in the morning to get back here. And guess what? He did. Stella may have said she heard me snoring while I was driving. I don't know. But we got home safely. We are here today because the great I am took what I handed over to him and said, hey, I've got a plan. It's going to be okay. Pick up that snake by its tail. Trust me in this. Trust me that, hey, I know you want to be there and you don't think it's possible. I'm going to make the impossible possible, Micah. Hey, they're about to lose. We just lost our last chance. Hey, watch this. I'll make them fumble the next play. And he did. God makes the unexpected happen. He makes the impossible possible. And guess what? God is not looking for extraordinary people. He's looking for ordinary people like you and I who believe in an extraordinary God. He's looking for ordinary people like you and I who say, you know what? I'm willing to take whatever I have, whatever it is, and hand it over to you, God, because I believe you are the great I am. I believe you, God, are the creator of the galaxies, of the universe. And I believe you, God, can take care of those things in my life that I so often allow to hold me back from what you have. So in closing, that's what I want to encourage you guys tonight. Is we're going to pray and close in a moment. But remember, when you just picture God, who he is, just think about this golf ball. And somewhere on this little golf ball, this little dot is you. And God's out there creating that. And yet, although he created all these galaxies, he said, you know what? I love you, Philip, enough to send my son, my one and only son, to die upon the cross for you. Because I love you. You know what, Paige? I want you to know that I love you and I'm going to be there for you no matter what. God is an extraordinary God. He is an amazing God who uses ordinary people like you and me all the time. He used Moses. He performed so many miracles through a staff because he handed over to God, him. Be amazed as you start handing things over to God and allow him to work through you. Be amazed when you're willing to pick up that snake by its tail. Be amazed when you step back and say, God, I'm in the midst of a really hard time, but I know who you are. You are the great I am. You are the one who made me. I'm going to turn this over to you. Lord Jesus, I pray for every one of us here this morning. Lord, that as we go back to our homes and to our families and to our workplaces and just to life, Lord, even today, that we would ask you, Lord, and talk to you, God, about what can we hand over to you? What do we need to lay down at your feet, Lord? What's the next step we need to take, God? And Lord, no matter how rough things get and how scary things get, Lord, how lost we might feel, Lord Jesus, that we remember that you love us. God, that you created us. And we might not be strong enough, but I am is. And we would never forget that, God. We thank you that we have a God who lives. We thank you, God, that we have a God that cares. In your name, Jesus. Amen.